Mic on, brother. There we go. One, two, three. There we go. Okay, they're still trying to get some of the songs into the computer so that we can all follow along as the choir sings. So we figured in to save some time, I'll just make the announcements here this morning, and then from that, we're just going to flow into the service as the Holy Spirit leads us. I wanted to begin this morning with a word that the Lord gave me that blessed me and was a testimony to what the Lord is doing in our hearts together as a group, individually, and in the heavenlies. And actually, it's the other way around. It's in the heavenlies, individually, and as a group. That's how it flows, right? It flows out of God's heart into mine together as rivers of living water. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. But whenever a man turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what?
Freedom.
Isn't that what we're experiencing? Liberty. With God first in my own heart and with you together. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Can you say amen to that? Me too. That's what's going on here, church, in the last 3 days, 4 days. That's what's happened. So welcome into that. And I believe that as that flows out from each one of us, especially from the young adults among us, that those of you who have not been here throughout the days, in the last few days, it will flow into your hearts. And you'll also be able to drink and experience this and drink of the water of life freely. So today, this morning, we're going to have a bit of a different service. Brother Tomod and Brother Kerry are going to lead the young adults who were here for this weekend. They're all going to come up here, and as a choir, they're going to lead us into singing the songs of heaven. And in between those songs, as the Lord moves among them, they'll individually come up here and just share a short testimony with us. And that may go on for a while. We're just going to see how the Holy Spirit leads us in that. The word that the Lord again brought to me of instruction was, and they were saved in Revelations chapter 12, right? And they were saved, how? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. And what happened to them? They did not love their lives unto death. The fear of death evaporated. They didn't love themselves anymore. The love changed, like one of the brothers was sharing. It's a change of love. And that's what we're going to experience here this morning. That's the wonderful opportunity that you get to experience, and we all do, together with you. After that, we've asked Conrad to share whatever the Lord has put on his heart. So we'll just see where it goes until about 12 or 12:15 or so. We're going to try to wrap it up and have lunch together. Thank you. Thank you to every one of you, especially you young adults. Thank you to you Norwegians for traveling halfway around the world and sharing this experience with us. I know that every one of you came at a sacrifice. And to share together with you in that sacrifice makes it a life-giving spirit of a sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise to our God. Are we ready with the songs?
Yep.
All right. Let's just have a word of prayer together. Let's all rise to our feet. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And oh, Lord God, we thank you for being our daddy, our good father, our heavenly father, who is our eternal father and the living savior and intercessor of our souls. And here we are. And you are here. We worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.
so that we can get you on camera, okay? Let's put this up like this. And when you want to share a testimony, guys, just come forward and speak into this mic, okay? Can you guys still gather a little bit? Maybe shift this way just a little bit.
They've been tight all weekend. I think it's okay. Yes. Death was arrested. Alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope.
Oh, your grace. have a testimony to share?
Sucks being short. I just wanted to mention, I'm sure I wasn't the only one that was really praying for this conference coming into it. I had been praying for some people. I'd been fasting. I'd been really wanting some stuff to happen this weekend. And coming into this youth conference, I was struggling to see God in my life. I've prayed for so many different things over the last years, and it's just like, where is he? Like, he's not answering me. But I was praying for this conference and stuff, and I mean, stuff was just happening galore. Prayers were being answered. People were recommitting their life to Christ and committing their life to Christ, and it was just an absolute answer to prayer, and it was definitely one of the best youth conferences I've ever been at.
Brandon and I were talking this morning on the way to church on how that the when we share our testimonies, that's what brings the glory to God, and it stirs up within the others that are listening. It's not just us sharing. It's the others that are hearing the testimony of what God is doing. That's why it's so powerful to share what God is doing in our lives. Yeah. Forever.
The moon and stars, they wept. The Savior of the world was fallen, His body on the cross, His blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon Him. One final breath.
The last years have been extremely painful for me, and it gave me no hope whatsoever that I could make it out, and I have made it out. And even I hated the last few years because of how painful it was, and I had no hope that God would ever use my story to help someone else. And the last few days I have seen light shone from my darkness through Jesus Christ, and he is our hope and our love and our grace. Thank you.
This has been a great experience, and I think we all were like praying as we were coming in, and I mean, it's just been great. I mean, yesterday we were all praying for hours. We started praying at like 7:30. We left at like 11. And I just felt like spirits being lifted and just like a sense of peace that I've never felt before. And like those 3 hours just flew by like it was nothing. And honestly, I could have just stayed here like the whole night. And it was just amazing. And the Lord has definitely moved a lot of us. And coming in here, I maybe knew like 4 people, 5. And now like I can call everyone here family. And I'm very thankful for everyone coming here.
Yeah, I want to just thank Jesus for really showing up this week. I know myself and a lot of others have been praying for a lot of different people and a lot of different things. And it's just been amazing seeing the power of God showing up and working in my heart and a lot of other people here. And it's just been amazing.
Your voice. song, I think it resonates with me because often we think God isn't good. If there's things happening in our life that it just seems like God's just like, it's not there. And weekends like this, it just reminds me, God just over and over brought to light so many things that he has brought good out of the bad. And that is, God just loves doing that. In the Bible, it's just like repeated over and over again. He takes broken things, makes them beautiful. He uses broken things, makes them beautiful. And I would just encourage you in worship to remember that you don't have to feel the song. You can just, the song, it has truth in it that you can sing. And you can proclaim that even if you don't feel it. And the devil doesn't want you to do that because the feelings will come if you proclaim his truth and his goodness. Another thing last night, it was really awesome. We were sitting in a circle just weeping and praying together. And there was times I'd look around and I'm like, this will probably end now. I don't see anybody like very emotional anymore. And then all of a sudden God just hits this one person. They just like, they start weeping and we just gather around and pray for them. And it happened again and again and again. And it was just, it was amazing.
This has long been one of my favorite songs. It's, I can almost never sing it without almost choking up. Tomorrow would be 4 years that I was diagnosed with cancer, which a lot of you heard my testimony. But this was by far one of my favorite songs to listen to, driving to and from the hospital. And I just realized, as God was touching us this week, that I often felt like he had to take me to a hard spot for him to touch me the most. But I don't have to feel like he has to take me through something like that again to touch me very deeply. That he's chasing after us even in just the everyday life, that he's always there chasing after us.
I also wanted to say that this song has been one of my favorite songs this past year, and the lyrics is just so powerful. His goodness is running after me, even though I don't feel it and I can't see it in the moment. And this week I also felt like I could surrender my life and lay my life down once more. And I'm moving away in this Friday, so I know that my God will lead me through my life, and I've surrendered it to him, so it's gonna, his mercy will never fail me.
His hands is he, my Savior.
forward to that day where we stand around your throne, where we are in your presence, praising you for all eternity. Lord, because we are nothing in and of ourselves, we are nothing. But because of the blood of Jesus Christ, but because of what Jesus was willing to do, because of the Father's perfect plan of salvation, we will someday, if we confess with our mouth and believe upon the name of the Jesus Christ, that we will stand there with you. We will kneel, we will bow, we will be on our face before you, but Lord, we will worship you in your presence. Not as though we see as darkly now, but Lord, it'll all be revealed to us that we can truly see the glory of God. And we look forward to that day. And would each one of us remain true and steadfast in our walk with you as we attain to that. Maybe we'll never see each other again here on this earth, but Lord, would we see each other in eternity worshiping around the throne of Jesus Christ.
I just want to say that this past week has been really powerful, and the worship really spoke to me, and I gave my life to Jesus.
So I gave a lot of my testimony last night, and I wanted to share something else that happened recently that Christ has been doing. Last year, I went to Alaska on a volunteer mission trip for troubled kids over there, and it was like I met God there. It was unbelievable. Every night I just go up into the aircraft hangar and just chat with him for the fun of it. And it was so powerful. You could just feel the Spirit of God everywhere you went. And it was amazing. And I felt like this is where God wants me to be. This is where he wants me to stay, right? And turns out he brought me back home. And through that process, it was extremely painful because I thought, well, God, I thought you wanted me in Alaska. I thought this is where you are. This is where you work. And this past year has been the most painful year of my life just because I could actually start feeling things. And I've come to realize that every time God puts us in a place that feels like outside of his love or outside of his care or power, it's to give us a greater blessing to reveal himself in that area. And that's what he's been doing in my life just over and over in my family, in my personal life. Everywhere I think that he isn't, or that I'm afraid or scared, he'll take me right there and he'll just sit with me. And I just wanted to share that as an encouragement, because I know a lot of people, youth, we're scared to go back. We're scared to get out of this because this is where God is. This is where we've experienced God. But what if God wants to give us something better? Amen. So I just wanted to share that.
It was amazing to see and experience what actually the one body of the Christ means when he unites all people around the world and makes them one. And yeah, we're going to live today. We're maybe not going to see each other, but he united us once and forever. Amen.
Okay, so I just want to say that
last night I shared my testimony with these people, and it really spoke to some of my other friends. So I feel like that was the reason why God showed me to go up there and share it. But I just want to say thank you for everything they've done. And on Friday night, I gave my life to Jesus.
Just to clarify of my other message or testimony, whatever. Several years ago, maybe about 1.5, 2 years, I wanted to kill myself. And this was even after I had given my life to Jesus. I fell into a really dark place. And like I had said, I had no hope that God would ever use my testimony. And he did. Was it Wednesday or Thursday night? I came up here and shared what I had gone through. It was extreme anxiety, depression. And I had no idea how much it would help some of the girls here. And the girl that was just here, she said that it had helped her to give her life to Jesus. Yes. Thank you.
Let's sing I Speak Jesus then. Could you girls go to the front and sing, Emily and Sally?
There was a point in time when I was really mad at Christian music, and I was really struggling to see the purpose through music anymore. And God just showed me that there's a purpose behind every single song, that they're not just singing just to sing, they have a story. And that just really helped me and encouraged me to really sing out for Jesus again. Just not holding anything back and using the voice that he's given me for his honor and glory. And when I was singing and this verse came to mind, I'm not sure the chapter and the verse, but the joy of the Lord is my strength.
I wasn't really going to come up here again, but for those of you who weren't here for the whole weekend, the reason the whole choir laughed when he picked that song is because we've sung it like 5 times a day for the whole weekend. But I feel it's more than just a song we really enjoyed. I feel like it's almost been the theme of the weekend, because your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. And that's exactly what's happened this weekend.
I was going to say the same thing as Peter. We all like learned to just love this song, and it's just been a blessing. And for me on Friday night, like, we were all singing and crying, and honestly, I felt nothing that night. And then I came home and I prayed and I just surrendered my pride, because that's kind of what I've been struggling with for the past couple years. And the next day I came here, and on Friday we started singing, and then we went into prayer, and I just felt his spirit heavy on me. And it was a wonderful experience, and I've never experienced anything like it.
He will hold me fast.
When my feet, excuse me. My faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, he will hold me fast. I could never keep my hold through life's fearful.
I just want to encourage all of you with that truth right there. You know, you go home, and one thing is for sure that He wants to hold you fast more than you want to hold on to Him. It doesn't really depend on your strength at all. Just keep on surrendering, keep on trusting.
Yes.
He's mighty.
This is your last chance to share a testimony.
Well, I was going to, but Mr. T stole my notes. I just also wanted to encourage all of us with that song to let go of a white-knuckled grip of the grace of God, because He can hold us fast. He doesn't need help.
Well, this is horrifying, but... So, before I came here, my life was crumbling, wasn't going the way I wanted. It's hard to see God in it. And everything that was going wrong could go wrong. Really hardened my heart, grew really bitter against loved ones. And then I came here, I confessed, and they were praying over me, and I just cried about like years worth of grief just out there.
Praise God.
And sorry, this is now I just want to get my life together, just really fix my relationships, get everything right. And it's not hard to see Christ in my life anymore because I was saved yesterday.
I know I've heard had my turn up here, but I just wanted to say there was different themes, again, that I just saw over and over again in different people's lives, and including myself with this song, He Will Hold Me Fast. There's so many of us, so many of testimonies I've heard this weekend of people feeling like they weren't being held fast, and that gives you a very desperate, hopeless feeling. But then this weekend, there were so many testimonies of people, God did hold me fast. There was just over and over again of He brought me through. He held me fast. Even if it doesn't feel like it, He is holding you fast. He is bringing you through. And He will never let you go.
Hi, it's me again. So, like I shared, it was a couple years ago already that I had gone through that depression. And I always thought that I had to understand why that happened in order to heal, in order to finally heal and come to Jesus again. And this last month, I started to understand that I don't have to understand why I went through that. Because again and again, you can go through the loop of why that happened. Why on earth did it happen to me? Why was it so painful? Why did it come when it came? And I started to learn that Jesus understands. He knows why it happened. And even though I don't, He's still going to use me in healing others. And this past month, this weekend especially, has been a big help in healing what I don't understand.
As this weekend has been, it's still not the air of heaven.
Yeah.
If we think this was amazing, think of what we'll have for all eternity.
Yes.
This last song is Hymn of Heaven.
Yes.
How I long to be the air of heaven. Upon the one who bled to save me.
seats.
Wow. Is there anything more to say? First of all, we want to say thanks a lot for how you all have received us, received me, my daughters, Tormod and Emily and Felicia. It's been an amazing time. All from last Sunday when we came here first only with the local church. And all you young people, it has been awesome, beyond any words that's in the English language that I know, and it will be difficult even if I tried in Norwegian. In 1 Corinthians 14, it says, verse 24, but if all prophecy and an unbeliever or outsider enters, he is convicted by all, he is called to account by all, the secret of his heart are disclosed. Quite a bit of echo on my mic, but is it okay for you? The secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so, falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. That's what happened these last days. We have seen this true. And the reason why Paul wrote it is because he experienced itself himself. It was nothing. Sometimes we have an idea of the Bible kind of just made in a study chamber, and but it was Paul writing from his own experience. This is how it is when everybody speaks prophecy, meaning not telling what will happen as our flight lands in Norway tomorrow, but speaking definition of speaking to prophesy is in verse 3 in the same chapter. The one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. So I know I told you this before, and especially you young brothers, this should be your deep desire as you go home, that you have these words of upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. Whenever you as youth gather to share the word, whenever you gather with your parents and or in your local fellowship, have this prayer that you will have something to share. That's what Tormod and Phil and I have had since we were teens. So that's why some people may think that we used hours to prepare, but we used 30 and 40 years to prepare. God prepared us through ups and downs, through all the struggles that you guys are in. I just want to tell you how an American blessed us last month when we had our conference in Norway, a brother called Rick. And he was 29 years old. He never went to church. His parents were unbelievers. And then he got invited to a Christmas play And he was there. He was not deaf himself, but he knew the sign language for deaf people. So he was so fascinated that while the Christmas play was on, someone stood at the side and did the sign language. And he asked the people in the church, can I be a part of this, doing the sign translation? And yes, we are having a play in Easter. You can come and you can join us and help translating into the sign language. So throughout those months from end of December till March or April, whenever Easter was that time, he joined for the practices. And then throughout the Easter time, they had, I think, five performances of the play. And he told us that at the first night, he didn't feel anything. He was just interested in getting the words right. And then as the week proceeded, his heart was more and more open to the message of the Easter gospel that these actors played. And on the last night, he asked them, I'm interested in becoming a Christian. You know what happened? They said, oh, we are so tired now. We have had this going for 5 nights. We can't talk to you. What do you think happened? As he was driving back home in his car, conviction came over him, and he just gave his heart to the Lord there in the car, alone. And he felt, and he says, this is his exact words, I felt like many people were hugging me at the same time. And I was reminded of this story when we all hugged and prayed for one another several times throughout the week. I felt like many people are hugging me at the same time. So I'm saying this to encourage you that when you get alone, and I'm saying this to encourage you guys who haven't been here for these last days, there is an experience with God. We started on Wednesday or Thursday seeing that Paul wanted the believers in Corinth to have a second experience of grace. Did you have a second experience of grace? Yes, we did. It's God's desire to give good gifts to his people. So through the testimonies, both from us adults and you young people, we have picked up that the Christian life is not only happy times on conferences and jumping out cliffs in a wonderful lake in the Rocky Mountains, but it is also suffering and pain. And when we experience suffering, all people experience suffering, not only Christians. And in fact, if you follow the Lord on the narrow path, so much of suffering you will avoid. So, but how do we react when sufferings come? So I'll give you, and in the church, if you have been at a good church, you have heard about the way of the cross. Have you heard about the way of the cross? Okay, so help you understand what the way of the cross is, I will give you 4 things that the way of cross is not. Are you ready? So say if Brad, after we leave at 2 o'clock to get to the airport, and after we leave, Brad start to talk around to all the other youth how bad Conrad really is. And he tells all the bad stuff about me. And then one of you would be my friend. Come and tell me, maybe. Send me a WhatsApp. Oh, Brad is going on now for 2 hours just speaking evil about you. And I sit there at Denver Airport, just came through the security, and I get this message, and I get angry. What would you call that reaction? Listen, this is, let's turn to Galatians 5, and we will see how Paul describes it in, he says in verse 19, Galatians 5 and 19, the works of the flesh are evident. And in verse 20, he uses fits of anger as an example. So you don't need to go to Bible school to understand when a person is angry. I mean, your most worldly friend recognizes anger. It is evident. So do we all agree that reacting with anger is not the way of the cross? Okay. So we have the first one down. We have to do this a little bit fast because we had so many wonderful testimonies and we want to use even more time in praise in the end, I think. So the next strategy would be I receive this text and I and maybe just to make the expand the illustration, maybe I had started to make a business agreement with Leland throughout these last days. I haven't negotiated with any one of you, but let's use this as an example. And then when he heard those bad news about Conrad from Brad, he just canceled the agreement. And so then I could have a legal strategy. You see? I would say, oh, Brad, I'll take you to court. By you spreading all these false things about me, I lost my money with Leland. Many, many Christians go that way. They go the legal way. And they think that's the way. They may think that's the way of the cross. Because, oh, I'm good. I was not angry. But I went the legal way. Do you think the legal way is the way of the cross? When people spoke bad about Jesus, they lived in the Jewish culture. And it says, You should not bear false testimony. So he could also go the legal way, and it wouldn't have been a sin of Jesus if he said, "This is God's law. God's law was violated. I need to have my rights." Do you see this? So it would not have been a sin to go the legal way. And then the third way is overcoming sin by pride and group pride, group think. And that's extremely prevalent among Christians. Since you guys were at this big, good conference, you should never think of doing this or that. Since we are such a good church, we have such a good fellowship together, now you go in the world and we together we will do it. Since there is strength in the fellowship, strength in the group, and since we are so proud to be together, we can overcome sin. And when we fail as preachers, we can as parents, I can tell my sons, you are a Milan, you are the son of Conrad, so you cannot do this. That's not the way of the cross. It's a way that brings death and separation and spiritual deafness for sure. Do you want to hear the fourth strategy? It's praying. Praying to avoid the suffering is not the way of the cross. Praying for, and the clearest example of that is we see in Jesus when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was saying, if it is possible, let me, don't need to go this way, but he said, I will do it. I will gladly do it, because he didn't choose the way of the flesh. He didn't choose the legal way. He didn't choose overcoming sin by injecting pride in his own life, but he overcome. Also not with prayer, but he overcome by being willing to suffer, by being willing to go the way of the cross. And we have seen so many examples of this throughout these last days and heard in the testimonies, brothers and sisters that were willing to go the way of the cross. Do you know? Have you seen the example? Should I point some of them out to you? So you see, here you see a man that just 7 months ago lost his wife too far early. If he didn't go the way of the cross, he would be in Florida golfing and try to heal his pain through some hobby or through some addictions, but instead he's here to bless us, even though it is painful, even though especially the good times of fellowship, I'm sure, reminds him more of the best thing in his wife than nothing else. Isn't it amazing? How that brings the glory of Jesus into the world, so that it is manifested. And that's the point of our whole life, that in our body, Christ will be visible to the people around us. And that's the calling on us as we go home, not only to tell that I got saved, or I had a great experience, or I was filled with the Holy Spirit, but that they see Jesus, especially in our attitudes, and especially in the close relationships where we have ill-treated our brothers and sisters, like we heard, where we have been in a persecutor, and we have met now a Jesus that wants to get rid of all the spirit of persecution in our lives. So we have seen teens here this week ready to go on the mission field with their parents without complaining, with having a good spirit, with losing their friends after having lost many friends even earlier, follow their parents in a step of faith, out of churches, And it's amazing. And it's something that lifts Jesus up. We have seen brothers and sisters who have lost trust in men, and they bear scars for it. And they have cried over it. And it's still a deep pain in their heart. But still they go on to serve Jesus. So I hope that you understand that even more than the preaching and more than the worship, what you see, what you experience with the brothers and sisters is important. And the more as we grow to know Jesus, we will see this. We have seen those who are willing to stand up against abuse, spiritual abuse, physical abuse, with the risk of losing their reputation, losing their friends, and it's glorious. Because that's how Jesus was. He was the one that got angry when the leaders wouldn't let one person be healed on the Sabbath. This week we have been together with a teacher who is under pressure, under risk of losing his job if he will not bow for the ideology that the local government is putting on the church. If he's not almost literally bowing before whatever they put up as the great thing, he will lose his job. Do you see how wonderful this way of the cross is? And it's only walking on that way of the cross that we can have unity. And that's why God has blessed us so richly this week. That as it's like a trickle of water going into a river. And when God brings those who follow the way of the cross together, there is an explosion of God's grace and mercy. So I want to point out to you that following the way of the cross is not something that often it doesn't come to us in a way where people ask us, will you deny Jesus or should we cut your head off? Even in the video with Rembrandt, we saw that was not the question that the secret police asked. It was not, we will kill you unless you deny Jesus. Do you remember what they wanted from him? The names. Not to deny Jesus, but the names. And it's so important to see. And so the local government that puts pressure on the teacher, they don't say, you should deny Jesus. But when we have a calling from God, when he has shown us a way of obedience, that will be where the test is, whether we follow his way or not. And Rembrandt continued to go that way of the cross, even after they paid to get him out of the communist Romania. But do you know what happened when he came to Europe? He started to talk about persecution in the communist countries. And do you know what the Christian leaders in Western Europe said? Shh, shouldn't talk about that. And he wrote letters and articles and did interviews warning and begging the leaders of Western Europe, Christian leaders, to speak out against the persecution, do everything they could to fight this evil of communism. And what do you think he got? Rejection. Almost wall-to-wall rejection from all the prominent Christian leaders of Western Europe. So that was another way off the cross that he had to go, losing his reputation. Even among, we saw in the video, he was in the part representative of the World Council of Christians. Many of his colleagues in that organization just rejected him. And this is so fresh for me because my uncle passed away in 24th of January. He's 10 years older than my father. He never had his own kids. I was very close to him because ever since I was 13, 14, especially since I was 16, we worked very closely together. We spoke many times a week generally. And in his library, I found letters that Richard Wurmbrand wrote. They did not make him popular, but it was his calling to be a voice for the persecuted. So our callings will look differently. The way that the cross that is set before you and me may look differently. Last month we were in Switzerland and we stayed with a couple there. They have been married for 15 years and they haven't had children. And I just loved the lady, how she explained to our girls the difference between being soulish and spiritual. So, I mean, this winning over sin by groupthink and with our pride is the much rather precise word I should have used to cut it short is soul power. We try to since I'm part of this very best church, I should not look on pornography. Since I now have been to River of Redeemed Community Church retreat, I will be faithful. That's soul power. It's not the way of the cross. It's not how we all counseled you yesterday. But going back I'll come back to my uncle. I will come back to the Swiss sister. She said, for the last many years, when she understood that she couldn't have kids, it was extremely difficult for her. And she has many siblings and a lot of cousins. And you know what? They all got kids. And whenever she heard the news, her soul. And she would cry. And she would cry. But she has walked the way of the cross. So actually, while we were there, or only a few days later, one of her sisters got a baby. And she was just rejoicing, showing the photos, sharing the photos, full of... And now she accepts so many children into her house to bless them. Since she didn't have kids herself. Okay, my Uncle Odd was born in 1945. And in his library, I found a very interesting document. It was a 100 pages about the church that he belonged to when he was young. And I thought maybe he wrote this when he was 30 or maybe he was 40. But then when I realized and read it through, I realized it was written in 1965. So he was born in 45. Help us now, Michael. He was born in 45 and he wrote the document in 65. How old was he when he... 65 minus 45... 20 years old, only 20 years old. He wrote 100 pages of the doctrine and the practices of the church that he belonged to. 100 pages. And it was not with computer, it was with the old typewriters. And it's almost without any mistakes. A few times he put in some small corrections afterwards, because you guys wouldn't even know that when you had the typewriter, you wrote it all out. There was no way of going back and correcting it. In that document, he wrote the sentence. He says, Our movement is the most, he used the word pietistic. Is that a word that you would understand? To put it a bit more simply, our movement is the most conservative movement in Norway. And he added, and we are proud of it. Our movement is the most conservative movement in Norway, and we are proud of it. So, I was like 65. And around 35 years after, 40 years maybe, in the early 2000s, my uncle, and in the late 1990s even maybe, my uncle would say, sometimes he would say, I wish I one day would see a choir with girls with pants and they will all worship in the Holy Spirit. And I hated him for that. How come? How can he say such dangerous things? I want all the sisters in the church to have the right uniform, to be dressed modest, extreme modestly, like in the 1920s or 1940s or whatever. Do you see? 30, 40 years changed my uncle from being proud of being the most conservative movement in Norway till wanting to change because he saw that all those traditions and all that pressure of uniformity was bringing death into the church, was bringing stagnation, was putting off new people that wanted to get to know Jesus. So many years before I understood this, my uncle understood it. That we have to break free from the bondages that put pressure on people. But what I love with my uncle is that he continued to change. So the verses that he was mostly talking about for the last years, and especially the last months of his life, they were from Isaiah 53. Let's turn there, Isaiah 53. So by the way, when I have seen you sisters praise the Lord in the Holy Spirit these days, I was reminded of this. And again, I could see how my hardness of heart in the past. Let's read from the beginning. Who has believed what they heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely, and this is where my uncle taught us to put in our own names. Surely he has borne Peter's griefs. Surely he has carried Esther's sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for David's transgressions. He was wounded for Michael's transgressions. He was wounded for John's transgressions. He was wounded for all our transgressions. And I love my uncle for teaching us that, that you should put your own name. He was crushed for Conrad's iniquities. He was crushed for Jason's iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought, put in your own name, on him. Let's say it together, and we, instead of us, we say our own name. Upon him was the chastisement that brought Conrad peace. Again, upon him was the chastisement that brought Conrad peace. You see how wonderful it is? When we start putting our own name. And so for the many last few years, my uncle had suffered with Parkinson. And all in his retired age, he had dreams of writing new articles about Israel, writing and writing more about all what God had shown him in the Word of God. But his body was slowly collapsing. But he held on to seeing himself in these 2,700-year-old words of God. And we need young people in America that will continue to put their name into this prophecy in the next century. And with his stripes, put in your name again. We are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So what I saw in my uncle was a lot of intellectual self-criticism. Since he was intellectual, I mean, if you write 100 pages about your church when you are 20, probably you are quite intellectual. And often the more intellectual you are, maybe the more aware that you how inadequate you are compared to others and to the standard that God says. So this intellectual self-criticism, I call it, is the voice of it is, you are not doing as well as you should. Have you heard that voice? You're not doing it as well as you should. And in Norway, there is an expression called jantelov. And jante was a character in a book. And the author of that book made a list of 10 points. And the core of the points is that you should not think that you are anybody. You should not think. It's the pressure of the big society saying that you as an individual don't count. And my uncle grew up in a culture like that. And some of you may have done that as well. Although secular culture in America today and in the Western world is all about you can be anyone you want. And you are the most important of things. But in more traditional cultures, and especially maybe in false religious cultures, that voice is really, really powerful. You should not think that you are anybody. And then, as I have spoken about in the past days, all our religious practices and our religion can be used just as a cover for ourselves. And the voice of that says, you need to understand that you have to deserve this. You need to understand that you have to make yourself good enough. You need to understand that you have to do your best and reach a certain level. And the last point that my uncle struggled with from his past, especially when he grew up in a holiness movement, it is self-righteousness. And the voice of self-righteousness says, you are not as bad as the others, or at least some of the others. Whenever we think you are not as bad as some of the others, always self-righteousness is at the root of it. So I remember as I shared there in my uncle's funeral, to his some of his relatives that were not believers, some of his relatives that were left in my uncle's past, kept under the trusting in men, kept under trusting in traditions, kept under trusting in institutions. I just pointed out to them that all this changed in my uncle's heart. Not to perfection. He had his struggles all to the end, but even he was willing to open, even with me, his nephew, because he had such a great confidence in this servant that we read about in Isaiah 52 and 53, the one that was crushed for our iniquities. So my uncle got peace. His wounds were healed. He was made righteous by the blood of Jesus. So you will never see my uncle, a 70-year-old man, cry while he puts his name into these words. You will never get to see it. But I hope that some of you will have the grace of God to put your name in there now and keep putting your name in for the rest of your life. And I want us adults to have this soft heart that we have seen in the young people these days. It's so dangerous to grow up. It's so dangerous to grow up. You should never do it. We have to receive God's kingdom as little children. We have to be broken. Lastly, you have time for one more point. Let's go back to Hebrews 13. Yeah, let's continue. I think we read verse 5 and 6 in a previous meeting. So let's read verse 7. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. So you see, it's a biblical thing to point out the way of life of people and see Christ in it. But then the author of Hebrews 13, 7, we read, and then in the next verse, the author turns to someone who's much better than all your leaders. And I'm sure he put Jesus in the next verse because he knew that many people have been disappointed by leaders. So when he said, remember your leaders, but now Jesus. I mean, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Phil will change, Tormod will change, Irvin will change, Conrad will change. All of us will change, but Jesus is the same now and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. And just to remind you about that point that Phil made, that the book of Leviticus and Numbers, they are relevant for us today. When you read them, you'll understand this better. Verse 12, so Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. And that was the way of the cross for Jesus. When somebody spoke badly about Jesus, he said, I do not receive glory from men. And in verse 12, it says that he despised the shame. That's where we can follow Jesus on the way of the cross. And he's asking us to come out of the camp. I don't know what the camp is for you. Some, maybe it can even be some of your parents that it's the camp for you, where you have to love Jesus more than your parents. Still respect them, still love them, still be obedient, especially if you live at home. But if the parents hold you back from following Jesus and be filled with the Holy Spirit and serve him, go out to Jesus. Maybe your camp is that little circle of friends that you have in your fellowship that is, even if you all call yourself Christians, even though you have all had great experiences, maybe you have a call on you that is different from all the other sisters and brothers in that church. And it will be painful as you have to break out of the gates of that camp and come to Jesus and serve him in a different way, maybe even in a different country than all the others in that circle. It will be painful, but it's worth it. It's such a wonderful thing to go out of the camp to be with Jesus. And did you see what's happening outside the camp? There is a fire there. The offerings were burnt there. And that's when we accept the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire, that's where we are united with Jesus. So how to react to all this? Verse 15. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. So it has been a wonderful time that we have started to praise Jesus these days. And let's continue. As we go to bed, let's give him thanks. As when we wake up, if we wake up during night, when I sit on the plane and I cannot sleep, I need to learn to give thanks to Jesus. Okay. I will ask you all to rise up. And I want us to read verse 20 and 21 together. But since we all have different translations, I think it's the best thing that you repeat after me. Are you okay? And we pray this for a blessing on one another. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. So that will be the first sentence. I will read it once more and then we say it together. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. Next, the great shepherd of the sheep. The great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will. Equip you with everything good that you may do his will. Working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. Working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. To whom be glory forever and ever. Forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
Thanks, Brother Conrad, for that word this morning. I was very encouraged and blessed with that. One word I keep hearing from the youth was amazing. So, I just kept, that's a word I kind of kept hearing. I was like, repeatedly, it's like this weekend has been amazing. So, hopefully there's a couple things. I like some individuals I like to give a recognition to. And that is to the cooks, for one, my wife, Faith. Olga and Katie kind of spearheaded this thing. And everybody else. Definitely been an honor and a privilege of having all of you guys here. I know Conrad and I guess Tour Mode, Big T guy, so had a lot of input in here, and Brother Field and everybody. Thank you again so much for being here. Like I said, it's been an amazing, I guess, a weekend and a privilege to have each and every one here. You have something to share, brother?
To this guy. All right. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song
feel for that song and you guys for sharing that way. One thing is like, sound like we're all been pretty caffeinated. I've been amazed at how much iced coffee we've been going through. It's like in the bag and like, oh, we're out of coffee. No, we just put it out there. No, we're out. So hopefully you guys get back home before you get crashed out. So, at this time, I've asked Irvin Bauman to come up, ask a blessing on the meal, and just say a prayer over each of everyone here before we dismiss. it's been an awesome weekend, and that you can go from here, keep your spirits up, keep your eyes on Christ. But before Irvin comes up, I think there's some of you Norwegians, I think, having to leave like 2 o'clock. So, and if anybody else needs to leave for the airport soon, just find yourself through the line quickly. We don't want to hold you up. So if you guys can be kind of mindful or respectful of that, that'd be greatly appreciated. Feel free to hang around. All visitors are welcome for lunch here. Brother Irvin.
I had a couple verses I wanted to just pray over you and bless you as you go. Numbers 6:24. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And then Philippians 4:19. My God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Yes. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Amen. Well, let's pray. And let's go rejoicing. Let's bow our heads. Father, we are so grateful this morning. Our hearts are just overflowing from your goodness. Father, you are so good to us. It's true that your mercies are new every morning, and we rejoice in that. We praise you. So, Father, I ask a blessing over each and every person here as they go to their parts of the world where they live. God, would your peace and your power rest upon them, that they could be witnesses for you in all that they do. They need it. We need it, Father. We cannot be witnesses in our own strength. So would you make that possible? Father, would you just have your power just rest upon us? Father, I just too now want to thank you for the food that you have blessed us with, that you've given us as a gift, as a blessing, Father. And we just want to praise you, and we want to thank you for that. And we want to ask that the strength that we receive from that, we could turn and give glory to you. Father, guide us and keep us and bless us. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And one more thing real quick before we go. I think we would do just a disservice or justice to all of us if we didn't recognize how good Peter looked today with his outfit.